everybody, and welcome to the NFL Roadshow, Christmas slash fantasy slash week 16 edition. Hope you're having a wonderful holiday and that your fantasy situation isn't detracting from it too much, because holy moly, we're doing it again. The question marks, the COVID lists, it's just a juggling act trying to get a roster together. And so again, there's a chance that some of this information will be a bit outdated by the time it gets to you. So thank you so much for being patient with us. I'm taping this on Thursday, early evening, and there were 46 players placed on the COVID list today. So who knows what Christmas Eve presents await for us tomorrow. The big names in this wave are pretty big. Dalvin Cook is out, and both of the Saints quarterbacks, Taysom Hill and Trevor Siemian, also tested positive. So what does that mean for us in fantasy? Well, it means that people who held on to Alexander Mattison are stoked. You can plug him in right away. It also means that Alvin Kamara might be the only guy that you want to play from New Orleans, especially since there is a small chance that he ends up having to play quarterback. He was their emergency quarterback a month ago and is next man up as I speak right now. Ian Book, the rookie fourth rounder, is going to get the start, but they're going to have to sign somebody else to back him up, because as of right now, they do not have anyone to do that. He is the only quarterback left. So we'll see, because that game's not till Monday. So there's time for a vaccinated player to potentially come off the COVID list, though you can't really plan on that for our purposes. One more thing I did notice about their COVID list, Jordan Mills is on it, and he was the guy who played in Ryan Ramczyk's absence last week at tackle. So if they are missing Terron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk, who they've been missing for weeks, and they're also missing Ramczyk's backup, then we could be digging pretty deep in the offensive tackle barrel there in New Orleans. From an injury standpoint, Lamar Jackson still hasn't practiced for Baltimore. Didn't practice all week last week also. So not only is he not practicing with the injury, but now he's just missing tons of time. I don't know if that's an ideal situation. If he is suddenly healthy enough to go, if you just want to throw him on a field after missing 2 weeks worth of practices. So I think there's a strong chance at this point that Tyler Huntley will be starting at quarterback for the third time this season for the Ravens, this time against the Bengals. Another one to put on your radar, Justin Fields, who did not practice on Thursday. He's got an ankle injury. For what it's worth, Andy Dalton is off the COVID list there in Chicago. Looks like Darren Waller is going to be out again. I'm a little bit concerned about James Robinson missing Thursday's practice after being limited on Wednesday. That's a step backwards. I've been looking for information. Can't really find any context. I guess it's possible that it's just a rest day, but Thursday feels like a weird day to do that. So maybe just keep your eye on that one. Same with Miles Sanders, who missed practice Thursday with a quad injury. Could be that they're just resting him on a short week after playing on a Tuesday. But again, you know, just make sure he's playing. Antonio Gibson is legitimately concerning. He's got a toe injury that Ron Rivera says is similar to the turf toe injury that he had last week. Hard to plant and push off, and that does not sound good. So if you have him and need to pivot, you're looking at Jarrett Patterson, I think. Remember, J.D. McKissick is on IR. I don't know if I'd even want to play Patterson in season long unless I was just completely desperate. And I know there are a lot of people out there at the running back position who are. So that's the guy you want to go get. But remember, they play Dallas. That's not a great matchup. Anyway, it's information. That's all I can do. I think that that's the majority of the big stories this week as we head into the fantasy semifinals. As always, Michael Fabiano and I have taken a look at all the matchups to try and pull some good ones for you. And we've also got some low-end plays for you, as we do every Friday, if you're either desperate or playing daily, as I am. So let's go ahead and get started. It's time to break the huddle.
Hurry up, let's go!
Two on two. Ready? Three.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Fantasy Dirt. Lindsay Rhodes and Michael Fabiano taking a look at this week's favorite matchups. We're going to start with the quarterbacks first. And I got to tell you, Fabs, I think it's a weird week in that the guys with the best matchups are not really guys that you want to play right now. Going through the defenses that have allowed the most points to quarterbacks in the last 4 weeks. Okay, number one is Green Bay, which I'll get to. That is a game worth talking about for Baker. But number two is Chicago. You want to play Russell Wilson right now, coming off a 4-point performance with 3 single digit games since he came back from the finger injury. Number 3 is the Chargers, who play Houston. So that's Davis Mills, who was QB12 of week 15. But as we all know, that was a really low scoring week. He only had 14 points against the Jaguars. Number 4 is Atlanta, which plays Detroit, which in a best case scenario is going to start Jared Goff, but could very likely be Tim Boyle or David Blau that we're looking at there. Tampa Bay is allowing the 5th most points in the last 4 weeks. That's because Josh Allen went nuts on them. They also held Taysom to 9 and Matt Ryan to 12. Cam did put up 23 against Buffalo, but he also put up 13 against Atlanta and 6 against Miami. Hugely volatile. Next, Arizona. They've got Indy. Wentz has scored fewer than 12 points in 5 of his last 6. So you get my point, Fabs. I feel like this is a really weird one.
Well, also think about this, right? Jets, Jags are teams that we would target, right? Are we playing Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson? Hell no.
Right, no.
Right?
Yeah.
And even Matt Ryan, you look at Detroit, okay? And you're thinking, ooh, wait a minute, this is a good matchup for Matt Ryan. And maybe ultimately it will be, but they've allowed one quarterback to score more than 17.8 fantasy points against them since week 8. That's it. And they played Kyler and Jalen Hurts. So it's not like they played, you know, these bum quarterbacks. Cousins had 20 points against them. So is it a good matchup for Matt Ryan? I mean, lately, it might not be, right, based on the numbers. And, you know, when you get into, like, the 4-game sample sizes, I feel like you got to be careful there. Excuse me, because, like, you know,
it
the Chargers
played. Depends on who you're playing.
Pat Mahomes, right? I mean, so that's going to alter things, you know, there. But you mentioned Russell. Russell, before the game against the Rams, had a couple of actually good games that maybe even could have been a little bit better, especially had Gerald Everett not dropped a ball that would have been a touchdown. I think it was 3 weeks ago. So he is actually on my list of the quarterbacks who have the best matchups because the Bears have not been good lately. And of course, last week, they really did a tremendous job considering of all the players that they lost due to COVID-19. And Kirk Cousins did not have a big fantasy game. But I actually do like Russell at home against the Bears this upcoming weekend.
Dak versus Washington, right? Washington's allowing an NFL high 22 points to quarterbacks. But right, Dak didn't. And Dak actually just played them a couple weeks ago. And he didn't do anything. He had 11 points. So he's slumping. But, as we, you know, would always say at this time of year, like, he's your guy. You're not going to take Dak out of your lineup. So at least know that the matchup is good. I would not personally go get him on purpose in daily, you know?
Right. Exactly. I mean, it depends on what your alternatives are, too. But, like, you know, I'll give an example. So Washington, you know, you had mentioned, you know, they give up the most fantasy points to, you know, to quarterbacks on the season. But in the last second half of the season, so starting in week 9, they're down to the 10th most at about 18 points per game. So
but I mean, Jalen just went for 28 against them.
But
last
Jalen
week.
Just burnt them, right? And but Jalen also is not throwing the ball. He is running the ball, and that can skew things as well, given that he's such a dynamic mobile quarterback. And so, like, and I mean, Dak is mobile to a degree, although not as much this year, especially after the gruesome injury against the Giants last season. But I mentioned it earlier on the show, Dak has not been a good fantasy quarterback in the last, like, 3 to 4 weeks. And the matchups have not been particularly difficult, Rhodes. So, like, I mean, again, I have Dak in probably 3 or 4 leagues. And, you know, am I going to start him? Yeah, probably. Do I have the confidence in Dak Prescott that I had maybe a month and a half ago? I don't.
No.
I don't.
Not at
I
all.
Just don't. No.
Mm-mm. No, way too inconsistent. Looking at the running backs and the matchup plays, look, James Robinson versus the Jets is like, smash that one in.
Smash.
I'm definitely going to play him in daily. The Jets are allowing 34 points per game to running backs. He's still only priced at $5,900. So that feels low. And maybe it's just because it was low from before, and the way that Urban Meyer was using him, and it hasn't worked its way back up yet, but I like him a lot. I like David Montgomery against Seattle. Yep. Seahawks allowing 29 points per game to running backs, and his volume has just been, this last game, he had 23 touches, 18 carries, 5 catches. That's exactly what you're looking for. And he's only priced at $5,700. I also like the Chiefs running backs Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yep.
Maybe you could even squeeze a Darrell Williams in there. They're priced at $5,800 and then $4,600 against the Steelers, which has just been getting gashed. That continued last week. Deontay Foreman didn't have a blow-up fantasy day like we've seen against the Steelers in like the month previous, but that was just because he didn't score a touchdown. He still had 108 yards rushing and 27 yards receiving. That's ridiculous. Plus, you take Kelce and Hill potentially out of the equation, and I expect the running backs to be leaned on heavily in that game for Kansas City, probably more than usual in the passing game.
Last four games for the Steelers, 164.5 rushing yards per game allowed. 164. The team that's given up the second most, Houston, at 144.5. I mean, that's brutal. I mean, listen, if you're not starting Clyde Edwards-Helaire this week in redrafts with a whole heck of a lot of confidence, and Williams is a cheaper option in DFS, so maybe you go in that direction there. But yeah, that's a great matchup. I also like Javonte Williams going up against the Raiders. The Raiders defense is not very good against the run. You know, we know that Nick Chubb should have had 2 touchdowns last week. Did not. I say last week, and it was like, you know, 2 days ago. And then Ronald Jones, he is not priced that high for what we project to be a featured back against Carolina.
So to me, it's less a matchup and more like the pricing for Rojo and the way that he's going to get used. And please put this one on your radar, because with Leonard Fournette out, Rojo is going to get so much volume. He's a good enough running back. It's like, it is Carolina, and they've been tough against running backs, though Devin Singletary did have success against them last week. That's something worth talking about moving forward, because Buffalo finally used their running backs because they had to, because Josh Allen obviously was dealing with the injury to his foot. So, but that is interesting moving forward about whether or not we're going to get a fantasy asset out of that.
It was really just Singletary too, because there was no Zach Moss, and Breida didn't really touch the ball very much. So they, at least last week, have gone to Singletary being their guy, which makes him more of a attractive flex option this week against the Patriots, who gave it up to Jonathan Taylor. And I get it. Yeah, everybody does. But they also gave up 200 yard games to the combination of Dontrell Hilliard and Deonta Foreman a few weeks back.
What about wide receivers? You know what I thought was interesting? So when you go and you look up the team that has allowed the most fantasy points to wide receivers in the last four weeks, and you're right that matchups come into play there, but it's a month long sample size. The Arizona Cardinals, who have on defense and particularly in the secondary played so much better than we thought that they were going to earlier in the season, they're allowing the most fantasy points to wide receivers, 47 points per game. They've got Indy this week. Do you think that Indy can take advantage of that? Carson Wentz and company? What do you think means? Pittman killed people last week.
But Pittman hadn't been great. I mean, he's had like one good game, really good game in the last month or so. And so, like, are you going to start Pittman? Probably. I mean, I don't particularly love it. And I also think, too, you're 100% right about that data. But if you're Indianapolis, if you're Arizona, you got to be a little salty. You just got beat by the Lions. So I would think in front of their home crowd, Christmas Day game, that they're going to come out and put their best foot forward. Now, they're not going to stop Jonathan Taylor, because nobody can stop Jonathan Taylor. Maybe the 85 Bears. I'm not sure. But I think Arizona is going to come out and play a heck of a lot better game, because that's embarrassing for a team that was supposed to be the best in the NFC, and some would argue the best in the NFL, going to Detroit and getting beat by that team in the manner that they did.
What other wide receivers do you like from a matchup standpoint? And then we'll get to tight ends a little bit later.
Right, digging T. Higgins, and I know he had a stinker last week. Forget about it. I like T. more than I like Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase, if he didn't have that one big game against the Niners, Rhodes, this last month plus has been really not good at all. So, and this past week, he killed a lot of people, including myself, with what was it? You know, one in change. He was terrible. Yep. Antonio Brown's not that expensive. And, you know, we expect him to come back and be the number one wide receiver. Now, he's 33 years old. He hasn't played since October. So there is a chance that maybe he's not going to play a full complement of snaps. Maybe he will. I mean, every time you see him on Instagram with his shirt off, he looks like he's in great shape, right? So, I mean, AB is going to be in a lot of lineups. Amon-Ra St. Brown also. I mean, he's been a top three wide receiver in the last 3 weeks. The targets are going through the roof, but is it Goff or is it Boyle? I don't know. And I'm sorry, like, I know Jared Goff has no great shakes, but Tim Boyle is not nearly as good as Jared Goff, and I just worry about, you know, who he's got the rapport with and that kind of thing. And then Gabriel Davis, no Cole Beasley. He's unvaxxed and he's got COVID now. And Emmanuel Sanders, I don't know that he's going to play this week. I mean, it's not 100% yet because it's only, what, Wednesday. But if he doesn't go, then, you know, holy moly, Gabriel Davis, who's, you know, scoring touchdowns, you know, like Santa gives out Christmas presents on Christmas Eve, he's certainly a wide receiver too, or flex in traditional leagues. And I don't know that he's that expensive on DK either.
Gabriel Davis coming off the fourth best fantasy performance by a wide receiver in week 15. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy.
Hey, everyone, it's Howard Bender from the Ante Up podcast. Every weekday, Adam Ronis and I serve you up the picks, plays, and fantasy information needed to win your bets. You know, this isn't just your average sports betting show, though, for one very good reason. We won't tell you what to do unless we've already done it ourselves. That's right. We put our money where our mouths are, so we're just as invested in each bet as you are. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, free for most subscribers.
Welcome back. Lindsay Rhodes and Michael Fabiano here to help you out with some low-end plays for week 16. If you're in need of help, some guys that you might be able to pick up off the waiver wire and or plug into your lineups in daily for a low cost. As I established earlier when we were talking about our favorite matchup plays, this is a tough week for me in this department with the quarterbacks because it feels like all the guys who have really good matchups are guys that you also don't want to play because they are bad also.
Exactly.
So I'm struggling to find a low-end guy that I actually feel comfortable playing this week. Mm-hmm. And advising people to play. Sometimes it's like, I mean, I guess you could go Tyler Huntley. I like Tyler Huntley. So I have said that. I've made that clear. I don't think there's a massive drop off from Tyler Huntley to, I mean, from Lamar to Tyler. I know that that's like sort of blasphemous. And I don't mean what we've seen from Lamar, like Tyler Huntley is MVP caliber, but Lamar and what we've seen from him recently, I think, you know, Tyler Huntley is a good plug and play guy. I think there's a lot of talent there. He did put up 35 points last week against Green Bay. So if he ends up playing,
make sure you get that in there, Rhodes.
After I predicted that he would score at least 19 points. And Michael Fabiano said, no, that's not going to happen. So I won and he lost. But yes,
well done. That's right.
But other than Tyler Huntley, who do you like this week?
Nobody. Like you said it. You know, like the Jets are playing the Jags. The Lions are playing the Falcons. It's like, geez, there's nothing out there. I mean, I guess Justin Fields, right? He hasn't been terrible. Seattle's defense can be had. So I think Fields probably would be on the list. You know, I got Matt Ryan on here, but like I said, I mean, the Lions actually been tough against quarterbacks lately. So I don't know that Matt Ryan goes out there and you know, explodes. So if I had to go with my favorite low end, it'd probably be Fields this week, Linz.
All right. Tua, you like Tua? You feel anything about Tua?
No, I don't.
A lot of people like Tua last week. I don't know that Tua helped anybody last
week.
Think
about Tua. Tua, like, he's played the Jets twice and he hasn't scored 18 points in either one of those games.
That's so not
kinda
great.
Kind of off Tua at this point. I'm all set with him.
Against a Saints defense that just held Tom Brady, well, you know, had him crushing surface tablets on the sideline. So
yeah, exactly. But you know what? That's what's going to happen though, right? You know, that's what's going to happen. That after that, you know, Tua is going to go off because, you know, no rhyme or reason in the National Football League these days. But I'm not in on Tua.
What about running backs? You mentioned Rojo earlier. I had him as a low-end guy just because you can get him for $5,100. And for me, it didn't feel like it was specifically a matchup. It's a usage at price. Like, he's not priced for the role that he will have this weekend. And so I think that that's somebody that we need to put on our radar. Justin Jackson is somebody that we've talked about with the Chargers. If Eckler does miss the game because of COVID, Justin was the guy that LA turned to after Eckler's ankle injury. And so the signs do point to him as opposed to Joshua Kelly or Larry Roundtree. And he's been pretty good when he's been in the game this year. He's averaging 5.7 yards per carry on the season. That's outstanding. And Houston, it's a great matchup, right? They're allowing 28 points per game in the last 4 weeks. So I do like him on the lower end.
100% agree. You know, Devin Singletary on the list as well, because he's, you know, he's really actually, he looked good last week. And if the Bills are going to go to him as their lead back, which it looked like they were, you know, he could end up doing some damage. And, you know, I've got Ramondre Stevenson on here. I don't know how low end he is, and it depends on if Damian Harris can come back. He was limited in practice today. But we saw what the Patriots did to the Bills a few weeks back, running the ball down their throats and throwing it just three times. And, you know, that's it. It's hard this week, you know, besides, you know, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, Jackson, you know, Rojo. I mean, Rojo's going to be an RB2 for a lot of people. In DFS, you mentioned that the price is certainly right, though.
Yeah. I should mention Justin Jackson's price is $4,200. That's very, very, very low for a running back.
It's really good, right.
That could
exactly.
start.
Yeah.
So that makes him particularly attractive there. From a wide receiver standpoint, I think you've got to put Russell Gage at the top of the list. The way that they have used him lately in Atlanta, his targets in his last four games, 7, 12, 6, 12. In that stretch of four games, he scored 2 touchdowns and has a 100-yard game under his belt. He's $5,900 and he's playing Detroit.
Yep. I like that one a lot. I picked up Gage in a couple of leagues and I've been starting him. He's been very good. You know, I've got Josh Reynolds on this list, but again, is it Tim Boyle? Is it Goff? Right? We're not sure. And if there's no Kelce Rhodes and there's no Tyreek, which Chiefs wide receiver are you going to go after, right? Mecole Hardman? You know, you can go after Byron Pringle, right? I mean, so there's some like really cheap options there. Yeah, my watch decided to talk to me while I wasn't talking to it. Have you ever?
It was like, I'm not sure which I should pick, Mecole Hardman or Byron Pringle.
It's so weird. Everything's going crazy. So like yesterday, we had Steve Young on the show. You can listen to the interview on the SXM app. And Steve, in part, was talking about this integrity insurance that he's involved with. And so I did some research on integrity insurance on my computer, right? So earlier today, on my television, completely different, piece of equipment. I go on YouTube because I like to put A Christmas Carol on behind me in the Christmas week, like when I'm working. The 1951 version with Officer Sim, it's the best one. You've probably never seen it. It's black and white. And on YouTube, they'll pop a commercial up from time to time, right? In between when you're watching it. Guess
was
what
it
commercial
integrity?
Came on? Integrity. I'm like, what the hell, man? Like, where? I mean, Big Brother. They're all over me. And yeah, my watch is talking to me. Anyways, but if you had to pick one of those wide receivers from Kansas City, do not talk to me. Look, what can I help you with? Again, something's going on right now. Would you go Hardman or would you go Pringle or would you go in a different direction?
Well, I don't know, but Hardman's $3,500 and Pringle's $3,300. So they're both
cheap.
Very affordable.
What about Josh Gordon? Right? Because Josh Gordon, I believe he's come off the COVID list. So,
yeah. Well,
no.
I think I would go Hardman.
Okay.
I think I would go Hardman out of all of that just because he's used the most. He has the speed. Like he can do a number of different things, I suppose. But we don't even have to go in that. I mean, there are options, but like in Tampa Bay, you also have, so it's AB, but then you're also going to look at Tyler Johnson.
Yes.
You've got Scotty Miller. So Scotty Miller has been out of the mix. He's been a healthy scratch for games this season. But I think out of the other wide receivers, he's probably the guy that has established the most rapport with Tom Brady. So when now a vacancy opens up as it has with Godwin and Evans, I think Scott Miller is a guy that you could look at. He's priced at $3,600. And I don't think it would be surprising at all if he was used in this game. Then in Arizona, how expensive is Christian Kirk? Let me look that up real quick. Because
my guess is that
I think he's pretty high. He's $5,600.
Because he had a big game.
I mean,
last
it's like
a no nuke.
You know, a mid-range pricing, but $5,600 for it's still pretty far down the list. You know what I mean? And
what about Laquon
Treadwell?
He was peppered
with targets.
What about Treadwell? What is he on DK? Because in the last four games, 8 targets,
$3,500,
6 targets, 9 targets. He's had 10 or more points in 3 straight games. Like he's not going to light the world on fire. But he's playing the Jets, and the targets have been there.
$3,500.
Yeah. You want to talk low end? That's low end, my friend.
Okay, let's talk tight ends, because we didn't do them in the matchup, so we need to do our favorite matchup tight ends and then some low-end tight ends. The name that popped for me the most from a matchup standpoint this week, and obviously taking some of the guys at the top out of the mix, is Zach Ertz against Indy. He had 11 targets last week. This is also related to D-Hop being out and how that changes things in this offense. Clearly, Ertz is going to get some of those targets because they used him a lot last week. Indy is also allowing 19 points per game to tight ends in the last 4 weeks, and that is second most in the NFL. So I feel like the matchup is pretty good there. The matchup is good for the Broncos tight ends too. Noah Fant and Albert O. The thing that's interesting there is that okay, Okwuegbunam. Okay.
Well done.
Yeah, I can do it. I just, you know, you're right. Come on, I should show off too.
You should show off.
You thought I couldn't do it, but I could.
No,
right?
I knew
Were
you
disappointed
could.
When I was like, okay, fine, Okwuegbunam?
I had all the faith in the world. All the faith in the world.
But yeah, I feel like Okwuegbunam, he led the team in receiving yards last week. He's been graded really high. He's playing outstanding football.
Good matchup too.
And remember, Drew Lock is going to be their quarterback this week. And who played with Drew Lock at the University of Missouri?
Albert Okwuegbunam.
Exactly.
Look at that, Lindsay Rhodes. I mean, come on. Is there anybody better in the business? What about James O'Shaughnessy? He's been getting
targeted.
Did
you just say O'Shaughnessy? Did you just say the G?
Yeah.
O'Shaughnessy. It's O'Shaughnessy. The G is silent.
Whatever. I like how I get Okwuegbunam right, but I butcher O'Shaughnessy. I don't know. I look at it and
you're doing
I have to
it
say
still.
The G.
Just don't
I have
say,
to
the,
say
G.
The G. You know what it is?
No.
There is an actor on Days of Our Lives when I was in college, and I think his last name was, I think it was Charles O'Shaughnessy. Is that what it is? I just said that with no G.
Yes.
And I think his was O'Shaughnessy, so I screw it up all the time. Whatever. I'll call him James O. How about that, Rhodes?
Works for me.
But you I like him against the Jets as a low-end play, yeah.
He's just part of the Jags offense.
I know, but he's getting targets.
I don't know.
Yeah. He's getting targets. Yeah. They're playing the Jets.
But he's not getting touchdowns. Not getting touchdowns. What about, okay, this one's gross. And this one's on the lower end because it's Cole Kmet. I don't feel good about this, but if you're playing Cole Kmet, then you're probably in a pretty dire situation at tight end and maybe looking at the waiver wire and you're desperate to pick somebody up because everybody else is hurt. He's $3,300 on DraftKings. So he led the Bears last week in targets, catches, and receiving yards, 9, 6, 71. He scored 13 points. Seattle is allowing 16 points per game to the tight end. So from a matchup standpoint, it's good. And then how about this one on the very, very, very low end? Brevin Jordan. Okay, I'm going back to this well. Now, I didn't go to this well last week, right? And he did not play because of a hand injury. So if you're looking at the stats and you're like, what happened last week? He put up a big fat zero. It's because he did not play, even though he was active because of a hand injury. But he was practicing fully on Wednesday before last week. Double-digit target share in 4 straight games. He has scored touchdowns in 2 of his last 3 games played. No Brandon Cooks, potentially because of COVID. And he is playing against the Chargers, who are allowing an average of 17 points per game to tight ends. He is the least expensive person named Jordan, first or last, on DraftKings, and the only one that I want to play at $2,500. All right. Hopefully that was helpful for you. If it was not, please let me know. Either way, I'm on Twitter, Lindsay_Rhodes, also on Instagram, LindsayRhodesNFL. You could also leave a review for us, also a 5-star rating, if you so choose or could be so kind. We'd love also if you would subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed the episode and you want to hear more, the NFL Roadshow is also available on the SXM app, free for most subscribers. Just download it today and tap podcasts. The NFL Roadshow is part of the SiriusXM podcast network. The executive producer is Andrew Emmer, and a special thanks to SiriusXM's Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, Steve Cohen. We'll be back on Monday to take a look back at what happened over the weekend and if we were right about any of this. Have a good one.
SiriusXM Podcasts.